Well, good evening. I got to admit, this message has been really hard for me to put together. A lot of it is due to the fact that it has a lot to do with probably myself and things that are hard. I don't know what you think about when you think of a vice and life, and it's kind of like sometimes where we're at, at pressure from all sides, and it seems like living the Christian life is hard and difficult. Tonight I'm going to be, I'm trying to work my way through Romans, and it's a lot more difficult than I thought it would be. So tonight I'm going to be looking at Romans 5, 3 to 11. And if you remember last message, which was a couple weeks ago, we talked about, and I want to recap that a little bit, we talked about when we first believed. And I just want to go through that. A few things. Excuse me. We talked about when we first believe, we finally have peace. And not only we have peace with God. So those are two things. We talked about the blessings that come from that. And we talked about your record in heaven goes from guilty to forgiven. We also, if you remember, if you were here, we talked about each one of us has a book that is recorded of your life. And we find this in Revelations. And once we're forgiven and we get written into His book, the book of life, and our book is canceled, which is wonderful. And then God writes that, we call it faith, but God writes that as justified. And that's how He writes faith. You're justified. Before we were His enemies and we were at war with Him, now we have peace. And then the second thing that we talked about is we now have access to His blessings. If you can recall at all what we talked about. And your account goes from debt to credit. And in this credit, He gives us blessings. And these blessings are what we're looking at. We looked at the blessings of peace. We have peace, and then we have access, and then we have hope for the very first time. And then the third one is we have hope. We talked about it's not just wishful thinking. It is a hope that is sure. Faith, we kind of talked about faith, looking back at what God did. That's part of it for sure. And hope looking forward to what He's going to do. And that hope is He wants to share His glory with us, which is so wonderful. Now, the fourth thing that we want to look at today or tonight is tribulation. And whether you you call that a blessing or not, it is there. It's the blessing of tribulation. And this is the part I had such a hard time with. Now, let's go to Romans 5:3. I'm going to start there, and I think I'm just going to read that from 5:3 to 5:11. Romans 5:3 says, "We also boast of our tribulations because we know that tribulation produces endurance." Now, some of your translations might have the word suffering or troubles. I'm not sure which translation you have. I've looked about 12 different translations, and they come up with these three. Some of them have suffering, some have trouble, and some have tribulation. Most of them had the word tribulation in there, so I'm not sure which your translation has. And 5:4 goes, endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. This hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. Now, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And it's like a down payment of what's to come, really. The Holy Spirit. Now, in 5:6, for when we were still helpless, Christ died for the wicked at the time that God chose. It is a difficult thing for someone to die for a righteous person. It may even be that someone might dare to die for a good person, but God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. By his blood we are now put right with God. How much more then will we be saved by him from God's anger? We were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son. Now we are God's friends. How much more will we be saved by Christ's life? But that is not all. We rejoice because of what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now made us God's friends. So, this evening we're looking at the word tribulation. Excuse me. In Hebrews 12:11, it's talking about Moses. All chastening seemeth for the present all chastening seemeth to be for the present to be not joyous, but grievous, yet afterward it yieldeth peaceful fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness. Now, God might not be looking at our present discomfort so much as our the eventual results. Now, the word tribulation comes from the word tribulum. Who knows what a tribulum is? I'm not sure. It's not responding here, Denny. There. Now that is a tribulum. That's what the Greek word is for it. And anybody knows what it was used for? Maybe this will help you understand it. It was a thrasher. It had long spikes in it. It kind of, for us, it kind of looks like a sled. But they would pull it across the threshing floor, and it had these spikes in it, and they would pull it across, and it would knock the grain off, and they would fall down. And it was called a tribulum, and that's where the word tribulation comes from. I just found it interesting. The Romans used to have it to drag back and forth over their threshing floor. Now, one of the paradoxes of a Christian life is that faith, that joy can coexist with affliction. It's really difficult to understand that. But if you looked at those pictures today from, I was thinking about the Surabhinia when he was sharing. The person that was persecuting, and before he became a believer, did you see the difference in his countenance on his face? He used to be the persecutor, and all of a sudden he was persecuted. But did you see the difference? Maybe that was intentionally, I don't know, but I noticed the difference. Someone has said that the opposite of joy is sin, not suffering. Think about that one for a minute. Now, tonight we're going to look at a lot of quotes, and I did that on for a reason, to help us think. Paul now goes on to explain the perseverance, that perseverance works character. We have been tested and approved, and this sense of his approval fills us with hope. We know that he is working in our lives, developing our character. This gives us confidence that having begun a good work in us, he will see it through completion. When we go through trials and tribulations, we know that God is working in our lives. And it might not be pleasant at the time. And this is what Paul is trying to help us understand. Here, this is a blessing that God wants to give us, a different attitude to troubles. A different attitude to our troubles. Now, the world is full of trouble, but the Christian can use them for his or her advantage. God wants us to have a positive attitude toward troubles or tribulation. When God sees us bearing up under our trials and looking to him to work out his purpose through them, he awards us with his good endurance seal of approval. Now, God uses troubles in our lives to develop our character. Think about that one. And they're, none of them are pleasant. Now, if you look back over your life and you think of the hardest times that you went through, and you look back at now, do you count that as a blessing? But it probably did help shape your character in some way, shape, or form. Now, we see this sometimes in our children. This is something that's been really difficult for me, is to see our children make mistakes. But we sometimes know that it's needed. And to help them learn a lesson. It's one of the hardest things for a parent to see their children fail. But with that, it's the best teaching that they get. In Acts 5:40, it's talking about the apostles, and it starts out. I'm not going to read. I'm just going to jump into the text. It says, "And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his honor, suffer dishonor for his name." They counted that as joy because they were worthy to suffer for him. Sometimes troubles have a lingering effect in our lives. I had to think of Jacob when he wrestled with the angel. The angel touched his hip and he limped from that day forward. A lingering effect. But I think Jacob probably counted it as a blessing. While the world is trying to avoid any kind of trouble, the Christian is embracing them because they know that God is using them for their growth. Sometimes he will use trials and tribulations also to get our attention. This is the one I was thinking of Moses. It talks about, he reckoned that to suffer scorn for the Messiah was worth far more than the treasures of Egypt, for he kept his eyes on the future reward. This is talking about Moses. I think if I have it right, he would have been the next in line to be the Pharaoh or whatever, whatever they had back then, or it was close to it. He counted that he would rather suffer with his children of Israel than take that position. Now, some people will choose a certain lifestyle or restriction in some cases and actually make life more difficult for themselves because of religious beliefs. But I don't really think that's what Paul is talking about here. He is talking about things that come into our lives that we really don't have control over. But why fill your life with trouble when you could be relaxing in a worldly pleasure and enjoying life? Vacations, cruises, gambling, sports, anything and everything that the world has to offer. Make life about yourself. Why would you choose suffering? Because of what we have to look forward to. That's why. And because of him, because of what he is worthy of, what he did for us. Now, as we get older, troubles seem to increase. I was thinking that trouble is going to decrease, and it doesn't. I'm beginning to find that out. I think it's a little late maybe for me to find that out, but but we have more responsibilities, family challenges, health challenges. Troubles seem to increase. And not only that, time speeds up. I know it does. You have the year just started and we're in May already, you know. Now, I'm going to be quoting some from Hudson Taylor. I don't know how many of you know him or know about him, but he was missionary to China. I didn't really know this person until I started studying his life a little bit. This is one of his quotes. All our difficulties are only platforms for the manifestation of his grace, power, and love. It's only a platform for God. Now, Hudson Taylor was born in 1832 and died in 1905. He was a missionary in inland China in the 1800s. He faced many difficulties. Illnesses, the death of his wife, the death of his children, desertion by fellow workers, persecution, financial pressures, persistent unbelief around him. 1870 was the most difficult year of his life. His son Samuel died in January. Then in July, Maria gave birth to a son, Noel, who died 2 weeks later. And to crown Hudson's sorrow, in July 23rd, Maria died of cholera. She was 33 years old. Hudson was 38. They had 4 living children. It is as though God gave Taylor this extraordinary experience, not as icing on the cake of conversion, but as a way of surviving and thriving in the worst of sorrows. Think of all that happened in 1 year to this guy, and he still stayed as a missionary. But along with this, and I was not familiar with this at all. Excuse me. Any of you know the Keswick movement? Any have come across? This is the first time I've heard of it. But I've heard some of the thoughts behind it, but I didn't know where they came from. But it's spelled K-E-S with a W, but the W is supposed to be silent. And it's K-E-S-W-I-C-K. Now, the teaching, some of the teaching was the second work of God's grace. You've probably heard of that term before. That would have been some of not his teaching, but excuse me. That would have not been some of his teaching, but he was influenced by some of this teaching. Now, I understood a little bit more when I started reading up on what he was facing, and he spoke of how he lived in a state of spiritual defeat because he tried to do the work of mission on his own power. It wasn't until he turned his life over to Jesus years after in the mission field that he was able to experience joy. Then he would have called that the second work of grace. And I would have called it more like sanctification probably. Is where I would come in at. And this was the teaching that was going on at that time. And you might say, well, we're not involved in that teaching, you never heard of that. But I come across something that I thought is kind of interesting. You know, some of our hymns come from that era. Like a River was written during that time and came from that movement. God's glory, glorious to God's perfect peace, that came from that movement. And the one that I think that we all understand is Take My Life and Let It Be. That came from out of that movement. These hymns reflect the Keswick theology of what happens to a believer who had a crisis of faith and turns his life over to the Lord, and they deal with sanctification. Instead of calling it the second work of God's grace, I think I'm more on the term of just the God's sanctification, I guess. Now, I'm going to be using some of the quotes from Hudson Taylor. We're going to be looking at these, and unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. Did you need faith to get here tonight? Probably not. I just got in my car and drove here. I didn't think anything of it. There was no, what was the risk? Maybe it would have been me probably wrecking into somebody. Maybe that's basically the only thing. But I had to think of the time when Harold shared, I think it was over in Syria, where this pastor would get in his car and he would drive to the next village and he'd get shot at different times. He was taking a risk. We didn't have to do that. So he was living by faith. He was living by faith. If it's God's will, he will get there. If not, he'll be going home with the Lord. The next one is, let us never forget that what we are is more important than what we do. Let us never forget that we belong to Christ first, and then what we do comes out of that. It's not the other way around. It's what we do for Christ. It comes out of that. It was what we do through Christ. The next one. God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust his great faithfulness. Learning to trust God in our trials and tribulations is very difficult for us if we live in a world where all our physical needs are met. Learning to trust God and faithfulness it really doesn't come down to us as having our next meal. We don't have to worry about that. Not yet. God is looking for people God is looking for people of great faith. God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow him. This is what God is looking for. People that are willing to follow him. Being willing to let Christ live in and through us can be very difficult because we still live in an earthly body. And it can sometimes be very difficult to let Christ live in and through us. This was a comment that was made, and I had to think about it. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm only half saved. Did you ever think about that term? Your body is not going to be saved. Your body's going to stay here. God is going to give you a new body. So you're only half saved, huh? You can look at it that way, I guess, but the next one. There are three stages in the work of God: impossible, difficult, and done. He can do the impossible, he can do the difficult, and he can declare it done. God can do all those things. Now, these are all quotes from Hudson Taylor. Now, you can kind of see why, that you can kind of understand his life. It must have been very difficult. Now, this one here is the one I had to struggle with. If it is true in anything, it is especially true of divine things. What costs little is worth little. This is probably the most troubling one of them all. Our faith in America really hasn't cost us anything. Therefore, we have a hard time understanding its value, and it's hard to convince people to take Christian life seriously because it really hasn't cost us our freedom. I mean, we have a freedom of worship. We can get together. This one here, it is not so much the greatness of our troubles as the littleness of our spirit, which makes us complain. Boy, I have something in my throat. I just can't get rid of it. If we don't recognize that God is working in our lives to help us grow in grace and faith, we will likely complain. Think about that. If we are not recognizing God working in our lives, we are more likely to complain. I don't know if it... I got some mints, but I just about don't dare take on. It's more a nervousness than anything. The next one. Not infrequently, our God brings his people into difficulties on purpose that they may come to know him as they could not otherwise do. Think about it. The times you face the most difficult situations in your life are the times that you turn to God. and you got to know him better. Now, I had a, and when I was trying to think this through, I had Hondas for a long time in my, I had three or four of them over my years. And I never had to work on the engine. I just didn't. They were pretty much a maintenance-free engine. But I had to think about that. But I never really got to know the engine because I never had to work on it. If you have to work on something because it's troubled, because it has problems, you get to know it. And this is what God is trying to do in our lives so that we get to know him. Isn't that something? Never believe those that tell you that becoming a believer, your troubles will disappear. The closer you draw to God, the bigger your troubles may become. Not always, but that's a possibility. This is how we grow in our faith. You are always going to have the normal troubles that the world has. That you can't get away from. But the believer, but becoming a believer, you're going to increase your troubles. As long as you're a friend of the world will treat you as their own. But as soon as you become a believer, the world will hate you. You will soon discover this, but surely not in America. Huh? I just did a little Google search of the things that are happening right within the last month or so. Excuse me. Wisconsin, street preacher arrested after protesting at the drag event for families. If you get in their way, they will come after you. Man arrested while citing Bible verses in protest of Pride event. Pro-life activist faces up to 11 years in prison. Peaceful protest now makes you a felon. This is in America. Now, this one here, some of you probably read it in the news. A group of 15 financial officials from 13 states sent a notice to the Bank of America raising concerns about the institution's debanking of Christians. Now, this is what they wrote. We write to express our concerns over Bank of America's troubling track record of politicized debanking, Bank of America debanking policies and practices threatening the company's financial health, its reputation with customers, our nation's economy, the civil liberties of everyday Americans. The officials wrote on April 18th a letter to Bank of America. In April 2023, Bank of America shut down the accounts of Indigenous Advance Ministries, which partner with groups in the African nation of Uganda to provide care and education for orphans and at-risk children. The bank closed accounts of a Memphis church which donated to the organization. Now, these are things that are happening right now in our country. The institutions the companies that don't like Christians, they will shut them down. They can. Now, if you stand up for your troubles, if you stand up for God, your troubles will increase. Maybe the reason it doesn't happen to us is because we are the quiet in the land. I had to think of that one. Now, I don't know if how many of you read Val Yoder's letter here some time ago. I think it was a couple of months ago, maybe. Several years ago, a teacher at Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute Ministry Week asked a group of 40 to 50 pastors, how many of your churches have five or more members from non-Mennonite background? Only one pastor raised his hand. Now Val goes on to write, would this indicate which side of the continuum we are on? When churches grow only due to church hopping and childbirth, we are in a maintenance mode. And I thought it was interesting. That's kind of what a Serve India guy shared. He talked about the maintenance mode. When churches divide due to dissension instead of evangelism, we are in a maintenance mode. If marriage and material things primarily characterize the future vision of our people, we are in a maintenance mode. Are you okay with maintenance mode? I was sitting with a boy from Kids Club the other evening. He was being naughty and had to sit out for a while. And I asked him, where do you go to church? He said, here. I thought, that's interesting. Here. I'll let you think about that one. Romans 5:4 tells us, endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. Endurance has the idea of coming out on top and not running away from it. Face troubles head on and not running from it. I always picture it as a tree standing in a fence line where it faces all the storm, wind, and rain. Maybe a lot of sand got blown into the bark, twisted and endured a lot of abuse. These trees are generally a lot stronger. They're not the most pleasant ones to cut down, but they are a lot stronger. Five, six says, for when we were still helpless, Christ died for the wicked at the time that God chose. This verse tells me that while we were in bad shape, terrible condition, dirty, needing cleaning up, needing a lot of maintenance, Christ died for us at that time. He didn't say to me, once you're problem free, you clean up, you come. He died for me, and not only that, I was his enemy. Now, we go on to the word helpless. Helpless has the idea of a baby can't do anything for itself. The story is of a couple who had their first child. While the mother was cooing over the baby, the father was thinking, man, am I responsible for this? The doctor, seeing his worried look on his face, came and stood beside him and said, don't worry. All you have to do is take the baby home, keep the one end full and the other end empty, and you will be fine. But the baby is helpless, totally helpless. Can't do anything for itself. And while we were in that condition, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know. There you go. Someone has said that in school you study your lesson in order to do the test. But in God's schooling, you get tested in order to learn the lesson. Just the opposite. This is part of being justified. Learning how to face troubles and still give God the glory. Worshiping in times of trouble. During this time, during this study, I had to think of Job. Think of Job. He lost. I was actually going to read it, but I don't think I will now. But he lost his children. He lost his servants. He lost his possessions. And basically lost everything. And I don't know how long of a period of time this was. It sounds like it was very just right one after another. And then it says, Then Job got up and tore his clothes in grief. He shaved his head and threw himself face down on the ground. He said, I was born with nothing. I will die with nothing. The Lord gave, and now he taketh away. May his name be praised. He fell down and worshipped. So another reason that God takes people through trials and tribulation is so that we learn to trust him. This is one of the things that I had to think about. We learn to trust him. And why do we need to learn to trust him? We need to learn to trust him that we know that he is going to take us through death into life. We need to learn to trust him. And he's going to accomplish that. There's a story of a missionary that began to go blind in her last years. Someone made a comment about her blindness and how difficult it had to be. She responded, "Not at all. I look at it as my Heavenly Father just putting the finishing touches on my character." Not at all. Could I say that? Could you say that? I thought for closing, I wanted to have a stand and read this together. If you can see it, maybe you can't see it. Screen. So, this is what God wants to do through us and help us. Let's read. May the Father, it's not responding, Daniel. Oh, sorry. So this week, you face trials and tribulations. Think of the vice, knowing that God is still good. He is helping us, and he is working on our character. And the thing that I am learning through this is learning to worship when facing great difficulties. Learning to worship in these difficult times. So let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you this evening. I just ask that you would give us a week of where we can learn to trust you in a greater way. And I pray, Father, that you would work in each one of our lives in such a way that we would learn to trust you and to grow in our faith and walk in truth and holiness. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, sorry. Sure. Come up here.
Okay, so Mom and Dad headed for Kentucky this afternoon. As we speak, they're cleaning up their van.
Oh.
They are at mile marker 140-something just south of Bloomington. 108. South of Bloomington. They had, I'm just going to read what Mom shared. They are both okay, so praise God for that. Okay, Mom had said, we had just switched drivers. Yes, I was driving. Dad was getting tired and said it's hard to drive. The steering is loose, so as I started up, the van started hanging toward the left. I overcorrected and lost control. The wind also made it hard to drive. And she said they rolled a few times, and they were pulling the tractor, and that ended up 300 feet out in the field somewhere, down the road somewhere, but they are okay, so that's a praise and a thank you, I guess. And they are planning on getting a hotel and then renting a car and heading on down to Kentucky. We're not sure about how we're getting back home, but we'll deal with that some other day. But I just think of them in your prayers.
Let's just pray for them right now. Dear Father, we come for you this evening. We just bring Henry and Edna to you. Ask you, Lord, that you would... We thank you, first of all, for protecting them. We thank you, Lord, that you have watched over them. And it's just amazing that the way the pictures look, how they survived. And yet we know that your hand was upon them. And we thank you for that. We just ask that you would now provide a way for them and help them, Lord, to recover. And I just ask, Father, for your continued guidance in their lives. And just bless them in a special way. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.